Well, welcome back to the One Hope for America podcast. I'm really excited to have my friend Donna here. And if you don't know Donna, you're going to get to know her here in just a minute. But we hope you're enjoying the content as we continue to just speak about what God is doing, what the kingdom of God looks like in the current days we're living in. And when I begin to just look through, God, who do you want? Who should we have on the podcast? You are definitely somebody at the top of my list because of the day we're living in and how you've stewarded all of the messages and things God's given you. But just if you don't know Donna, just a little bit here, just so you can get to know her. She is married to Stephen DeSilva. How long has he been married for?
40 years.
40 years. So they got married when they were 9.
I know.
I'm just kidding.
Yeah, turning 60. But, yeah.
Wow, it's amazing. It's amazing. You got two kids, Corey and
Timothy.
And do you have any grandkids yet?
Grandbabies. So we have 2 and 1 on the way.
2 and 1 on the way. That's amazing. And you are co-founder of the SOZO department, the Transformation Center.
The SOZO Ministry. The Transformation Center, yeah.
And the Transformation Center here at Bethel, which if you don't know what that is, people come here from all over the world to get healing, inner healing, breakthrough, pastors, leaders, anybody. And it's just powerful, just massive. And so you've been doing that for over 20 years.
Yeah.
And so the experience that you speak from of helping people get set free from torment, everything from torment, childhood trauma, and everything in between is from life experience helping people walk into freedom.
Right. And you know, some people come for SOZO not because of trauma, uh-huh. but they come because of a disconnection, maybe, with emotionally with people or situations. And so we can go all the way from what seems like a simple disconnection all the way to horrible traumatic things in your life. So
yeah.
It just kind of does the whole kit and caboodle.
That's amazing. That's amazing. So you've been doing that for 20 years. You have incredible prophetic discernment, and your gifts, you know, help you really bring people into that place of freedom and deliverance. Some of your core messages, shifting atmospheres. If you've never heard that one, you have a book on it. And this has been, the audio on this was one of the top sellers at Bethel's bookstore.
For years. Yeah.
And
I'm
doing that for you, okay? And so, because it's like you have, if you don't know what it's like to write a book, okay, this is a big freaking accomplishment, okay? And she's got 5 of them, so. But, you know, shifting atmospheres, I mean, what a massive message for the day we're living in. We're going to get into fear. Here's what we're going to do in just a couple minutes is I want us to get into fear.
I don't
want
to get into fear.
Not going to get into it. We're going to cast out fear, and we're going to help you recognize fear. And, you know, but I want to just highlight just a few of your life messages that you've really written books around that you carry in our atmosphere here at Bethel. So shifting atmospheres, SOZO. SOZO, saved, healed, delivered, preserved, is what that means. This is the Greek word for saved. Overcoming fear, which is one we're going to get into today, and then warring with wisdom. And so, yes, there you go. You can pick up all of these at
DonnaDeSilva.com.
There you go. DonnaDeSilva.com. And it's you also got blogs and different stuff like on there that could help people step into freedom. So. But the last 2 years, we're going to get right into this.
Okay.
You ready?
Let's go.
The last 2 years really conditioned Americans to normalize fear.
Yeah.
Like, it's just, fear has just become a normal thing. Like living paralyzed. And you know, obviously there's a difference between, like, the emotion of fear. Like, don't run into the street, Jimmy. You're going to get hit by a semi. That's a good fear, right? But then there's this paralyzing fear that is plaguing America right now. It's like a stronghold of fear. And I want to get into this and let you just talk and share your heart on it. You know, we've been conditioned as well over the last couple of years to just let lies be normalized.
Right. Yeah, totally. Absolutely. And I'm going to be careful not to go super political here. But
you're fine.
But I think it's funny that I wrote Overcoming Fear and then the whole world shut down with fear.
Yeah.
Right. And I'm surprised this book hasn't just flown off the shelves because of overcoming of the fear, right? But if I look at in the SOZO world, then one of our 4 doors we talk about when we look at entrances to the demonic is fear. It's one of the main categories that we look at. And fear is his number one tactic. The number one tactic of the enemy is fear, and the number one way to bring fear is lies. So yes. A quote from Pastor Bill, I love to quote him because then I just feel smart, is, I feel revelatory.
Me too.
But he was like, you know, any area of your life under the influence of fear is under the influence of a lie.
Yeah.
And so I think, okay, how do we find out what fear is? And how do we find out what is masquerading that is not fear? And if I think of the most controlling person you know is probably the most fearful person you know.
Wow.
Because they're controlling so that they, everything lines up right. Well, that's fear. Fear that it's not going to work. Fear that it's going to happen. And so overcoming fear, like the book here, is really good about finding your tells. You know, like a poker player, like they're playing cards or something, but they
yeah.
have a look. And you're like, oh, that's a tell. For me, you know, God did not give you spirit of fear, 2 Timothy, but power, love, and a sound mind. And to me, it's very formularic. If you have power, love, and sound mind, if you have them in the right order, you will not be afraid.
Mm-hmm.
So sound mind is also like discernment. Like,
mm-hmm.
how do you discern correctly truth from error?
Yeah.
And so for me, I kind of look at this in a different way of once you find your tell, you know you're afraid. So for me, if I start talking louder and I start positioning myself,
mm-hmm.
I'm like, oh, wait a minute, I'm afraid.
Mm.
So someone might say, oh, you have an anger issue. Oh, actually, anger is protecting me from fear.
Wow.
And so looking at that and going, the number one tactic of the enemy is fear.
Wow.
So
that's,
we got to get in it. Get
and
it.
You just hit something really fast, the four doors. A lot of us preach those here. Maybe somebody's listening right now. It's just like, I've talked to people on the streets before about, you know, demons and angels and all that. And I'm like, hey, bro, the four doors, this is how demons come into your life.
Right.
And they look at me like that look on the face, like, oh, God, you know.
Yeah.
And, you know, I think as leaders, as pastors, as, you know, we've got to understand what these four doors are. Because the day we're living in, I mean, like, from Hollywood to the White House, I mean, like, things are being normalized to push us into just living with these doors open.
Absolutely.
Not just in our lives, but in our kids. How do we protect ourselves from these doors?
Well, and for our world, we call them the four doors, but they're four categories.
Okay.
And it comes from Paulo Vittar in Argentina. And the four categories where we open ourselves up to possible demonic attachments is fear, is number one. Hatred, which is, you know, Christians are like, oh, I don't hate anyone, but you're jealous, you're bitter.
Right.
That's called hate.
Yeah.
You know, spirit of murder,
mm-hmm.
Sexual sin, and the
mm-hmm.
occult. And
mm-hmm.
and for me, I find a lot of the occult has even slipped into the church.
Mm-hmm.
And I watch it, and I just get so irritated. I'm like, that is an open door, and you need to not open those doors to the enemy. And the best thing to do is we close them through repentance.
Yeah.
So I repent, or I forgive. For someone who opened the door for me, maybe you were molested as a child and that sexual door got open for
yeah.
you. And that is what I feel the assault is on our kids. A lot of it is we're going to normalize sexuality
yeah.
into this place that is actually not biblical,
mm-hmm.
right? So how do we know you have to have the Word of God. The Word of God has got to be your plumb line.
Yes.
And you know, if you don't have the Word of God as your plumb line, I don't know how you're going to understand hope.
Mm-hmm.
Right? It's like, no, anything goes. Well, if
mm-hmm.
anything goes, then I've opened a door in this realm to bitterness and hatred and fear and sexual
yeah.
sin.
Yeah.
And the doors are opened for me as a little kid in kindergarten when they start talking about the sexuality issues or they start talking about things. So we need to keep those shut. And
yeah.
and so for me, the overcoming fear in the realm of the fear door is just understanding that that is Satan's number one tactic, is to bring fear. Well, what is fear? It actually is a disbelief that Papa God is going to protect you, or that Father God is going to provide for you. So really,
mm-hmm.
it all comes down to your connection to Father God.
Mm-hmm.
And I talk about that in Warring with Wisdom. I talk about, and I'll pull that one up. I talk about how the real issue when you pray is to get into the third heavens,
mm-hmm.
right? Because that's the only place where He's under your feet. And so, how do we overcome fear? Number one, you recognize maybe in a different way. When I start talking louder and positioning myself, well, wait a minute, I might be thinking I have to battle this sense of anger. No, actually, I need to battle the fear that is presenting in anger. And I go through the whole theme of what is false power, what is false love, and what is false discernment, the fantasies and just the belief systems. And
wow.
Really understanding that, I say, actually, I think you could bring most everything down to fear.
Wow, Wow, that's profound. So fear is more of a symptom. Is that true? Like of a lie that we're believing.
But fear is proof that you're believing a lie.
Okay.
Unless it's like run from the bear, and then your adrenaline shoots up, and it's like, and that's a fear that is like rational, like. But then your body calms down and you don't walk around in it. Fear can be, you know, Chris says, I don't have any fear, but what keeps you up at night? You know, what wakes you up at 2 a.m. and just keeps looping in your head? Fear of failure. Like, did I do it right? Did I do it wrong? Fear of punishment. Fear.
Wow. There you go. So that's powerful. So then, you know, how do we, so really, if we're going to talk about overcoming fear, we have to talk about overcoming lies.
That's
really what we're talking about. Fear, I mean, I've heard somebody say it's false evidence appearing real.
Absolutely.
And so if we're going to talk about overcoming fear, which the reason I wanted to go after this is because as Americans, with what's happened in, I mean, let's just be real. America has been traumatized. The world has gone through trauma. And it's just like when pain comes in, there's voices that are there that we have a choice to believe. We can either believe the voice of truth or the voice of lies that leads to, one leads to hope, one leads to fear. And it's just like, if we're going to talk about overcoming fear, we have to talk about renewing our minds in truth.
Absolutely.
Right? Mm-hmm. How do you help a person, maybe somebody's listening to this right now, and they're recognizing, a propensity to fear, or, oh, I thought that was normal in my life. I mean, it's not normal to be afraid of failing. Because I think sometimes, I mean, I know in my own life, like, sometimes you make fear your friend, you know, to, okay, if I don't do this just right, I'm going to fail, so let's go, you know? And it's just like, that's unhealthy. And so, to be connected with the Father, anyways, I'm just trying to set you up to, like, just tell us, how do we break the stronghold of fear in our minds and in America?
Yeah, it's going to come through 2 Timothy, you know, God did not give you spirit of fear, but power, love, and a sound mind. And it's like, for me, it's like if you have proper power, if, you know, bullying, we look around in our world and we say, well, bullying, that bully is the one with the most power in the room, but that's not real power, right? And so you have to be able to say, okay, the ability to sit in the heavenlies with Father God and laugh at what's going on around you, the enemy's like, he can't afford you to sit there because that's the only place he's under your feet, and it's the peace of God, right, that crushes Satan under your feet.
Yeah.
And so he's going to lie to you, he's going to scare you, he's going to do everything he can to have you come on down here. This giant's too big, this circumstance is you know, not going to work for you. And then you have to look at, well, we have this boundaryless love. Well, it's not true. You know the song, all you need is love. No, you don't. You need power and you need a sound mind. You don't just need love, because you have a boundaryless love. And I see this in Christianity all the time. And, you know, sorry guys, but I'm going to push some buttons here. But, it's like, well, you know, I have to tolerate this because I just need to love. Well, me loving you and tolerating sin in your life is not love. I mean, it's not God's love. You know, Jesus didn't tolerate without saying, here you go. You know, and it's like, the problem is that we need to speak in a way that is loving when we speak truth against the lies you're believing and actually acting out of. And then discerning correctly what's going on. So there's a formula already in Scripture for us to walk without fear. And I like the idea of, you know, I look at the fruit on my tree. As the sozo person, I'm not introspective. I mean, I'm very aware of how I am. But I like to look at Jesus rather than look at me. Because if I look at him, I know what doesn't look right in me, right? But also at the same time, if I am watching the fruit on my tree, because Jesus says you can't get bad fruit from a good tree. If bad fruit pops in my world, like anger for me was my biggest protector, or self-righteousness or arrogance, that was like, if I'm arrogant, then you won't, you know, if I present better than you, then you won't confront me. Well, it's fear that I'm not gonna be good enough or something.
Wow.
And so in that place, it's like, if I look at the fruit on my tree, I'm going to say, oh, that's bad fruit. It's coming from a bad tree, but the tree is here. It's the mindset. So it goes back to, what lie am I believing and acting out of? And some of these lies are so generational wow. that it's like, that can't be a lie, because everyone in my family believes this. And and you do have this thought of, what do you mean, you know, that you should be this way? Wait a minute, I've always been taught this. And just finding those things really is rooted out in sometimes getting people to help you mm-hmm. to find those lies you're believing. They're rooted a lot of times in long generational patterns that have gone on in families.
It's like stronghold patterns mm-hmm. you grew up in.
Absolutely.
Like, the stronghold pattern of my family was worry. Like, my grandma was just known for worrying, and it was just accepted. She just worries about everything. And it's just kind of like, cute grandma, worries about everything, And my dad worries,
Yeah, it's called fear.
I love him. But like, my family worries, I'm just like, God doesn't approve of worry in a believer's life. That's the opposite of trust.
Right. We as Christians have really watered down the word fear.
Yeah.
We worry. We're concerned. Oh, can we just pray for Aunt Mary Martha, whatever she's uh-huh. because I'm so concerned that, it's like, no, that's gossip. That's yeah. manipulation. It's all fear.
And we call it a whole bunch of different things.
We call it a lot of different things.
It's like fear has become the most normalized sin in church.
Yeah. Hopefully it doesn't become sexual sin.
Right.
Which is happening a lot.
Oh, Jesus, help us all. But like, gosh, we normalize it and
absolutely.
We mask it.
We even applaud it.
And then we call it wisdom.
Yes, yes. Mm-hmm. I know. And one of the things that I've struggled with over the years is having a discernment, right? Is people saying, oh, you're negative. You have discernment. I'm like, yeah, but my discernment is actually truth to error, mm-hmm. right? And it's like, so learning how to speak in a way that allows people to receive your discernment and not feel like you're just always picking on them or feeling like, oh,
yeah.
You're just negative. I'm like, how are you telling the Sozo lady she's negative? Because all of it is about getting you to the
place
truth.
Of freedom.
Right.
Yeah. Wow, that's good. Okay, so pastors, leaders, their congregations, people are just, they're paralyzed in fear. How do we equip pastors and leaders to lead people in green pastures to restore their soul? How do we help them take these tools and that you've stewarded in other people?
Well, my husband coined a phrase years ago called stepping through the door of Jesus. Mm-hmm. And I absolutely love it. I've preached it. And what we say in Sozo is that fear is a daddy wound. Mm. That if I have fear in my life that isn't like run from the bear, if I have fear in my life, it's a disconnect between Father God and myself. Mm. And how do we get that? 90 to 95% of the time, it's an issue that we have with our own earthly fathers.
Wow.
Now, some people are like, my dad was great. And you're like, okay, was there a male pastor, a male teacher, an uncle that you were disconnected from? Because you carry a lens. When we read scripture, we all see it through our lens. And hopefully some people see it through a rose lens, mm-hmm. but some of us see it through God is going to smack me lens, mm-hmm. right? And it actually, we interpret scripture through our experience. Mm-hmm. And so it waters down the truth of it. And so sometimes we're with Jesus and we're like, as I talk about this stepping through the door of Jesus, I can absolutely prove that the disciples carried an orphan spirit even though they were with Jesus all that time, because they were with Jesus but they didn't know the Father.
Wow.
And because of that they had fear. Because of that they had competition and jealousy.
Wow.
Because of that they had unbelief. So how do we heal our congregations as we get them through Jesus to the Father? And we do it all the time. It's like, I had a friend tell me, a doctor, which is kind of funny, well, Donna, how you got here, you had a dad, yeah. He says, but it's not the absence of your dad that, to get you here, it's the absence of him in your everyday life mm-hmm. that makes you an orphan. So are we staying at the door of Jesus because we're scared of this Father God? Is he going to punish me? Is he going to harm me? But Jesus said, no, I came to show you the Father. And so your relationship with Jesus should be the same as with the Father.
That's so good. Keep going.
Yeah. And so, you know, I've seen so many people, they won't get to the Father because of situations. I had one guy, which I just love, it's in the Sozo book. He's my catcher, so he's going behind the ladies I'm praying for, and he's big tatted guy and muscles everywhere, and I'm thinking he's going to catch really well. No one's going to fall without getting hurt, and Holy Spirit falls, and he starts to cry, and then he's like crying even more, and I'm like, okay, wait a minute, let's get somebody else. And later I go to him, what's up? He says, I got this Jesus thing. We're like best friends. He goes, and after this weekend, I got the Holy Spirit, you know, which is the power and the knowledge and all of this. It's so funny because I got it. He goes, but this Father God thing, no way. I just don't get it. And I just heard myself say, well, when you close your eyes, can you see Jesus? Can you connect to him? He says, yes. And he says, we're close. And I just said, repeat after me. Jesus, would you take me to your Father?
Wow.
And he did this. And I just, big old guy standing there, I said, Father God will never strike you.
Wow.
And this huge guy hits the ground and he's in curled up and he's sobbing and groaning. I'm like, did I break him? What's true? So I get down and I'm like, is this a good cry or a bad cry? He says, Father God is holding me. And wow. He's just crying. And he's just like lost. And you know, the phrase in the book we use is he stood an orphan, but he hit the ground an adopted son.
Wow.
And that's going to change your life. When, you know, one word from the Father changes everything. You know, your identity issues that we have are... our fear of failure, you know, when Father God looks at you and says, well done, thy good and faithful servant, you're like, yeah, but what about, and he's like, well done. When you hear that from him, then the enemy, it's like when he starts saying, you should do better, you should do this, you're like, wait a minute, that doesn't resonate as truth anymore because I know who I am with my Father.
Yes. Wow. So what we need is a movement of the Father.
And think about what's going on in the world today is, you know, we have so many families without fathers. Mm-hmm. And then we have families with really bad fathers. Mm-hmm. And then we have families with really great fathers. Mm-hmm. So my father, I love him to pieces. He's an amazing person and he's very quiet. And my dad's a businessman, but he was a poet. And so he never was verbal with, oh, I just love you. He wasn't gregarious with that information. And I learned some things as a child growing up that, you know, even though he's such a great man, that it's like, oh, maybe if I tried harder, maybe if I did a little bit better, maybe if I made that extra basket in basketball, he was there, but maybe, you know, he would be reading a book. Mm-hmm. And it's like, maybe if I did really better, he'd put that stupid book down and he would applaud. Mm-hmm. And so we learn things growing up, as wonderful as our parents can be, they're not perfect. And so I put that on with Father God. And I would see when people say, well, Father God loves you with everlasting love, and he rejoices over you with joy, Zephaniah 4:17. Mm-hmm. And I'd be like, oh, I can see how he rejoices over, you know, Teresa Leibscher, because she's just hilarious and fun, and she's just this big personality. But I didn't do well enough, so I'm... yeah, I can, and that's a lie.
Yeah.
The lies are about who you are, and it's about who he is. And so a lot of times, you know, I'm invited to teach people about, I want you to come, I want you to teach about people's authority and their identity. And I'm like, well, the first thing you need to know is who is he? Because it's attached to him. But if we don't know who he is, if we're afraid to go to him, you're going to have a hard time standing on who you are. And those lies are just going to keep hitting you. And if, you know, if you didn't have a dad growing up that protected you, you're not going to believe that Father God protects you apart from the Holy Spirit healing that place supernaturally inside.
Wow. That's profound. That's really good.
I do this. Trust me, I do this for a living.
You do this for a living. You've soloed me several times. I've been in staff meeting before, and I'm like, Donna, I've got this thing. And she'll just like... just... set me free in front of everybody. And like, that's what I love about this place, is it's just like, you know, as leaders and pastors, we have to be whole, we have to be healthy, and in order to lead people, you can't give what you don't have. And so it's just like, that's what I love about the environment here, is that there's freedom to know when you're not okay, it's okay to not be okay,
and to get
and to go get help.
Yeah, Because in a lot of times we just need someone to sit with us and say, hey, that's not God talking,
mm-hmm.
right? Because we're spinning in our own world of what how God's talking. And then other times we need people to pull us aside and say, you know, you are responding this way. That's bad fruit. Let's find out why it's there. Mm-hmm. So accountability, and especially for pastors, that's really hard because we are concerned about opening up to those very close in our world, right?
Yeah.
Because they're like, well, they might hold it against me. Well, hey, we have online sozos, and we have sozos all around the world.
Mm-hmm.
And so I would actually reach out and say, hey, I would say, let's see if there's anything in here in my
yeah.
brain. And at the same time, I'm probably running out of time, but we have to understand too that not all our thoughts are ours.
Yes.
And that's the shifting atmospheres
100%.
Teaching. It's like, you know, the enemy will roam around and he'll say something and you'll have that thought. And then if you don't understand that's not you, then you're like, oh my gosh, let's say pornography or let's perversion. And
mm-hmm.
you walk out and, you know, this world is full of atmospheres of perversion and broadcasts, like radio stations of perversions. And you have this thought and you're like, oh my gosh, I had this horrible thought. I can't believe I'm supposed to be a pastor. I'm supposed to be a good person. I'm a great Christian. But oh my gosh, I had this thought. And then you start going into this condemnation, you just needed to change the channel. It's like, actually, you know, that thought wasn't mine when I walked out the door. It's not mine right now when it talks to me. And as you change the channel, you get a different radio station and it stops that cycle going on inside of what's wrong with me. Well, it wasn't ever yours, right?
Yeah.
I have had so many people free just from understanding not every thought that comes to you is yours.
100%. And that's shifting atmospheres and the reason why it's such a hot seller still, because it's just it's revolutionary. I know for me, when I first began to discover that, it changed my life. And so
because we're conditioned to believe that every thought is ours.
Yeah.
And we're to take thoughts captive to the obedience of Christ. You always will.
Right.
But when it's the atmosphere talking to you or the spiritual realm talking to you, taking thoughts captive is changing the channel.
Mm.
Now, if it's your own thought, you need to take that captive because you have a propensity in somewhere and you have an open door for sin. You got to close those doors.
Yeah.
I mean, there's different ways to go at it. But I've seen people spin and spin and spin, and then they're afraid. Here's the fear again, right?
Mm.
So, and one of the things I love about Pastor Bill makes things very simple. He's like,
mm-hmm.
you know, when a thought comes, does it drive you to God or does it drive you away from Him?
Mm-hmm.
Because he said, if you want to just look at it easily, if it drives you towards God, God's probably talking. Like if the Holy Spirit is convicting you, it drives you to God.
Yeah.
If it's Satan condemning you, you hide.
Yeah.
Right? And
yeah.
so in that sense of those two, like some people are like, yeah, but, you know, is it God talking to me? Is it the enemy talking to me? Where does it drive you?
Yeah.
Does it drive you to repentance? Does it drive you to God? Then the Holy Spirit's saying to you, hey, check this. Watch this. If it's like, I'm going to get some fig leaves, I'm going to go hide,
mm-hmm.
then that's the enemy talking to you. It doesn't mean you probably weren't doing something you shouldn't be doing, but the evidence of where that came from is actually where it turns you to.
That's so good.
I'm just blabbing. Is that okay?
I wanted you to. I got a couple of questions.
Okay.
Just throw it out there just to get you talking so that I can receive myself on this chat for all of you guys to hear and see. So, that's just good. That's just good. What do you feel like God is saying to America right now? What do you feel like God is? What is the Lord saying to America?
Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
I was saying earlier before we started that I am a standard bearer, and I just have this inability to tolerate sin in my own life
mm-hmm.
and in lives. And I'm not mean about it, but
mm-hmm.
I'm just very like, come on guys, there's an open door you're opening.
Yeah.
You know, let's just take care of it. But I just the other day I was usually a lot of time in prayer, my thoughts are, God, I am so sorry that man will choose anything but Jesus so often.
Wow.
It's like, we'll go do this, we'll go do that, we'll try drugs, we'll try sex, we'll try humanism, we'll try
mm-hmm.
Hare Krishna, and actually Jesus is the answer. He's always been the answer, he always will be. And I found a song the other day, I was so frustrated with something that I heard in our world, not Bethel's world, but in our Christian world. And I thought, and there's mixture again. There's something being allowed, the occult, into the church, and or there's, you know, politically, there's Disney's plans, and there's Starbucks plans, and how we're gonna, you know, Starbucks specifically is going to allow, if Roe v. Wade is overturned, they're gonna pay the traveling fees for people to go get abortions. And I'm like, apart from Christianity.
You can't be afraid to say this stuff either.
I love it.
Because, like, people need to know. We got to know how to stand for truth.
I know, but it's like this whole thing is like, I talked about economic vote in my own time.
Yeah.
But it's like, you know, apart from scripture, that seems very generous. It seems like what a great company that they would be so for their employees. At the same time, it's like, well, if you're a Bible-believing Christian, you should see that as murder.
Exactly.
And so every time you have a coffee from that place, you're actually putting your economic vote in for murder. I find in my prayer time, you know, repenting, God, I just repent for my own life and what anything in my life that connects to that. But then from that place, and God, I just repent for America, for our policies, for our not believing in life. And I repent for any time I've had a convenience where I go somewhere where I know the policies. And I work really hard for my economic vote, but sometimes you can't get around your economic vote because there's no other option in where you're going. But I've been boycotting some of these places for years and hoping people will. And so for me, it's like, what do we need to do? The world needs to close the door to the other options. So what do I have for Hope for America is that we would choose Jesus because he is the only answer. And the song that has come up is I Speak Jesus. And I've just been playing and playing. I speak Jesus over this. I speak Jesus. It's his name. And as I play it in the season, I see actually like, molecules, like dust falling on us and into the crevices of our, like I speak Jesus over sickness. I speak Jesus over depression.
Yeah.
I speak Jesus over, in all these places, it's like, no, the answer is Jesus.
Yeah.
And, you know, the sooner we understand that, as a people, as a nation, as a family, the sooner we're going to turn this thing around.
That's so good. Yeah, a lot of Christians today, they're like, what's your, I mean, there's a place for this, obviously, but I'm gonna stay on this train. What's your disc? What's your Enneagram? Show me your strength finders. A lot of stuff has its place, but it can't ever replace or come close to toppling that place in your heart of Christ. Like, you know, a couple of years ago, it was like I saw for the first time in my life the gospel in a lot of leaders' lives got second place.
Yes.
To a movement of social justice.
Yes.
And that brought destruction to churches in America, and a spirit of confusion, and then division hit in 2020, and it was awful. And you know, I love a lot of those people, but like it's Christ. We can never take our eyes off of Christ alone. It's Jesus Christ. And it's why this message I'm running with right now is there's only one hope for America. I'm trying to say it's Jesus. It's
right.
Christ alone. There is no other hope. Not just for America, but like for our families, for our schools, for, you know, he is the pivotal figure in history that's being outside of history, that's alive, that, you know, he's the only way. And right there, our camera died, overheated. Don't know why, it's a new camera, but sorry about that. Listen, that was the end of the interview anyways, so it's okay. If you want to go receive more from Donna DeSilva, you can go to DonnaDeSilva.com. She is the real deal, guys. She's amazing. So I want to encourage you today, let's stand against the spirit of fear by walking in the Father's love, walking in truth. If you're encouraged, you're blessed by this, man, please share this with some friends. Share this with your audience so people can be established in the love of God and stand against fear as we go after one hope for America. Bless you guys.